Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 184 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy, Darius the Artist, and as always, got my co-host DC here with me today.
Yes, sir. It's your favorite know-it-all who knows nothing at all, and we're here today to talk a little bit of Xbox, a little bit of Gearbox. It's a boxy episode today.
we're staying in our box today, man, with a lot of this interesting stuff, man. I hope you guys are doing good today, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you guys are listening to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, man, just want to remind you guys that we do record these episodes live every Saturday around 11 a.m. Eastern. We would love to have you guys come out, man. Twitch.tv/DariusTheArtist. But yeah, man, we got some actually interesting news, man. I think, you know, as we kind of make our way through the year, we're starting to kind of see what the shape of the rest of the year is going to look like. You know, I think, you know, the closer we get to summertime, you always start to get these weird and interesting rumors and leaks. And, you know, it's been a while since we've even kind of like talked about any, but I kind of felt like this was a good place to talk about these rumors of this Xbox handheld because, you know, just last week or the week before that, we were talking about what PlayStation plans are allegedly looking like with the PlayStation 5 Pro, which may or may not come out this year. But, you know, from multiple sources, it seems like that some form of a mid-gen refresh for PlayStation does exist. And, you know, I think everybody's been kind of wondering what Xbox is going to do. You know, even though they haven't said that they weren't going to release a mid-gen refresh, they were going to, you know, they're looking forward to next gen. But this handheld business could change a lot of things, man. And I'm actually, you know, the more I looked into these rumors and just like what people were kind of thinking, the more excited I actually got, you know. And I think that Xbox might be onto something here if this is true, of course, you know. But, you know, are you looking for a handheld device? I mean, we already got the likes of, you know, the ROG Ally, the Steam Deck. And then Lenovo has one. I forget what theirs is called. Their device is called. But handheld gaming seems like it's been coming back in a big way. And it's something that I'm actually interested in getting into. I don't know about you, man.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. A lot of these handhelds have caught my eye. I have been looking at the Steam Deck. Looking at the Steam Deck, and I was trying to debate on if it's something that I need or not, because I'm trying to just be, you know, when it comes to money and money management and just thinking about equipment that we need here at Super Weapon, and, you know, I'm just trying to make these pieces fit, right? Like, I don't want to buy something and then it just starts collecting dust, sure, which I've been known to do. So I've been trying to kind of avoid that and just be better with my money. But with that being said, I don't know. If it catches my eye and I feel like I could really, really utilize it, then I would definitely purchase one. One from Xbox would be very interesting. My angle with Xbox is I see the play here, because we all really know why they want to go this route. I mean, even Phil Spencer said it in so many ways during the last couple of interviews, to where they want people to be able to play anywhere at any time. And right, with that statement being said, I mean, a handheld console fits right into that statement perfectly, right? So I'm just trying to figure out, would this be separate from the Series X, or are we looking at next gen after Series X and maybe making the next console may be portable, like a Switch? Or, you know, there's a lot of questions to be had with this move, but do I think it's a good move? I definitely think we're seeing an uptick with handhelds. We would be remiss if we didn't say Switch kind of paved the way for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, with this new resurgence of handhelds, I mean, of course, if you want to go back in history and look at the history of handhelds, you had like the Game Boy Advance, the PSP, you know,
the Vita. You hit the nail on the head, man. You know, shout out to Weenie in chat. I think that would probably be the biggest selling point for a lot of people as well. Weenie, he said that having Game Pass library on the go would be, you know, probably one of the biggest things. And I think that
that's what I was going to get at. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, I think there's a lot, there's a couple of different angles you could look at it. And, you know, speaking on like one of those interviews that he did, you know, Phil kind of talked about just kind of where he kind of sees the industry at right now and the problem with acquiring like new eyes into the gaming industry. And I think that's a fair, I think that's a pretty fair assessment to make. I mean, you know, we talked about it here before how, you know, every generation console sales never seem to increase. You know, they kind of hit a plateau at a certain point, and, you know, that kind of stays the course for that generation. And, you know, I think just like you said, the Switch really did kind of revive handheld gaming. I mean, because for a long time, people thought Nintendo kind of gave up on it after the 3DS and them just not really supporting it anymore. And then they went into the stage of the Wii and then the Wii U. They, you know, they kind of tried to do it a little bit with the Wii U with the big iPad looking thing. And I like that Microsoft seems to at least, you know, with Phil in the lead, it seems like they're really trying to break away from just the status quo of what we know the traditional gaming industry to be. And that's just these three console makers give us these three boxes and we know they're going to get some exclusives and we're going to, you know, go about that generation and have great games. And I think, you know, I mean, you look at a lot of what a lot of companies are doing right now, you know, all the shrinkage we're starting to see, consolidation in the industry, you know, things are about to get a lot more safe from the standpoint of AAA gaming. Like, they're only going to make sure bets now, or try to make as close to sure bets. And I think Xbox is probably looking at it like, you know, the Steam Deck is really taking a big part of that market. So is the ROG. And I think this is like a really great time to give gamers that. Because I honestly, man, like I said, like at first, I was kind of like, I was thinking the same thing you were. It's like, do I really want some sort of handheld device? You know, will I really use it? And the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I actually would. Because at least for me, you know, I spend most of my time, whenever I do game, it'll be at my PC, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't typically, you know, I don't even have my Xbox plugged up in me and my wife's bedroom anymore after we moved. But I don't have, like, that kind of relaxing type of, you know, just to kind of chill and play some games. And I would like a little handheld, you know, maybe I don't want to get on the PC and play Dragon's Dogma or Starfield. You know, I could play that, you know, sitting in front of me. And I think Xbox is really onto something. I mean, they've talked about how often, you know, they continue to talk about the services and things that they want to do to expand Xbox to pretty much every facet of
the quote, the, right?
You know, the consumer life. And I think this is, the handheld is a great way to get into that. You know, speaking on price point too, like Winnie was saying, you know, I would imagine that they would follow what Steam Deck has kind of done, right? I would love to see, like, you know, you have these different models that you can buy at certain different price points. Like, maybe this one has less storage and a, you know, a little bit of a slower CPU or something like that. Or, you know, battery life on this one's better. You know, those kind of things. But I don't know, man. Like I said, the more I started to kind of look at it, I kind of like the idea of something handheld, like a handheld game. I mean, because who knows what
maybe the future. Yeah. It may be the future. And I think Xbox, the way Xbox and the way Phil thinks, is always trying to get ahead of the curve in how we're going to play gaming. Quote from Phil Spencer, "What should we build that will find new players?" So that's a direct quote from him. And I believe with that quote, he's saying, okay, so how can we get more people involved in Xbox's Game Pass? And how can we, like, make more places for people to play? And that brought up an interesting thought in my head. And I did some digging. With them taking this route, right? Now, let's just say if they get their handheld off the ground and it's a hit, right? It's everything that everybody wanted it to be. It's everything everybody's looking for. With all that's going on in gaming, and as far as like with AAA titles becoming more expensive to make, so in turn, you know, you have people, they're trying to figure out more ways to make money or make a return off their investment. With this approach of being able to play everywhere. Do you think like developers are going to start, like, this goes back to the exclusivity conversation. Okay. Do you think we see more games kind of come over to Xbox in a sense, since they, if you can get your games out to more people, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. Like, you're saying like if they have this handheld device,
yes,
would developers be willing to come to Game Pass, like their storefront? Oh, 100%. Because I kind of look at it like this. You know, you already have, it's already kind of tough to play Game Pass like xCloud on your phone. You know, like your iPhone, you have to do kind of like a little bit of trickery. There's no dedicated app to it, right? So I think what Xbox ultimately wants to do is have their own space where they can have their customers and have control over their marketplace. Because, I mean, you know, for those who don't know, like, the, you know, the government suing Apple right now for this very thing, for them thinking that they have a monopoly on their storefront, yada, yada, yada. But the point being, like, Apple doesn't work well with a lot of other tech companies. And, you know, with the younger, you know, whether people want to look at it like this or not, I guarantee you companies like Xbox are looking at the younger generation of gamers. You know, I'm thinking like in your nephew's age, you know, our youngest kid's age, you know, that teenager to young adult that they're looking at for mm-hmm. their next big customer base, because that right. that group of kids grew up, that demographic grew up with iPads, tablets. You know, they're already kind of familiar with holding devices in their exactly. hands and using them,
yep.
you know, for multi purposes. And, you know, I could see, you know, speaking of like exclusivity, like you could even go as far to say, with the rising costs of AAA gaming, you could see we're already starting to kind of see some of these smaller studios spin up. They could work on projects that could just be exclusively for this Xbox handheld, whatever it's going to be called, right? Like, you could ultimately start to see that kind of stuff. I mean, this thing doesn't have, I think what people have to think about too is like, this device doesn't have to be uber powerful. You know, if you get like something that runs like 1080p 60 on most games on settings like low to medium settings, that'll be great. And I think what people don't understand, like with small screens, is, you know, if you have something that's like 4K or very high definition, you know, on a small screen, you won't really see the benefit of that, right? So
right, exactly.
At that same point, that could help reduce the cost of this device, you know. And you kind of asked the question, like, do you think it's like a next-gen version or a mid-gen thing for them? I think this is something, I think we should start looking at this as something like a family of devices. You know, we've heard them use that terminology mm-hmm. before. You know, right. I think this is just another way for Xbox, because they've already been kind of experimenting with this kind of stuff. I mean, they were working on that little Fire Stick like device that you could plug into your TV. You know, they've been wanting to kind of enter into that part of the tech space for a minute. And, you know, I'm excited to see what they do. I mean, I think they do hardware incredibly well. I mean, you look at the Surface devices that they've been working on for like the last decade plus, and I mean, those are incredibly popular devices. And they're actually really well built. You know, I've actually worked on a few at my job, but I think that Microsoft at this point kind of knows what they want and what they see with Xbox in there. And I think they're trying to pull a Nintendo and break out from that traditional, you know, we're going to drop a console when Sony drops a console. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're trying to move away from that old business model. Sorry, I was rambling there. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, man. You was cooking. That boy was on fire, wasn't he?
I did a lot of research into this. Yeah. Sorry.
No. Man, look. Pull them notes out and get to cooking, my brother.
I mean, it's so interesting. Like,
yeah, you kind of fried my notes, because you kind of hit on a few things that I had pulled up here in my notes. And I believe that we're looking at a shift in the landscape, and I don't think we really realize it. Like,
no.
There's a change in the landscape, and I feel like Xbox, you know, this is not an Xbox podcast, but it's just their turn, right? So I feel like they're trying to lead the way in this new way of thinking. And because PlayStation did it. PlayStation had their PlayStation Remote,
but they have the PlayStation Portal right now too.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever it's called, the remote portal.
Yeah, it's called the portal, the PlayStation Portal.
Now, I've been We know a few people. I know a few people who actually have the PlayStation Portal, and they enjoy it. They love it. Apparently, you know, if you have Wi-Fi, I believe your PlayStation have to be on or in rest mode. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but see, if you have a good Wi-Fi, I believe you can connect to your games, from what I was told.
Yeah, and honestly, and, man, I think Sony does a great job of. They're definitely thinking outside of the box too. Where, you know, I'll give them credit for them trying to. They want to continue to support VR, right? Like, even though VR is not doing so hot for them right now, or anyone in the industry as a whole, but they continue to push and support it. You know, I would honestly to God, I think PlayStation would make money or stand to benefit if they would look into having some sort of like actual successor to the Vita or the PSP. Like, you know, especially
a lot of people want that. Like, there's a big audience who definitely wants that. I believe that would definitely be a win for them. A new age Vita or a PSP would probably be great, but I also want to kind of jump back just a little bit on the VR thing. I know it wasn't on a docket.
No, hell yeah, we can talk about question. It. Absolutely.
Why do you think that is? Like, me personally, I thought VR was going to be like the next big thing in a couple of years. I've been waiting for it to kind of develop a little bit more, because I do eventually want to invest in VR. I just look at the games and stuff, and I'm just not really ready to spend that much money on something.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem.
Developers developing games for it, or?
Man, VR is such a interesting part of the industry that I think the price point, the cost of entry is incredibly high, and usually you need something to pair with the VR headset, right? Like, you need either a desktop PC to play the games on it, or you need to, you know, have a PlayStation 5 in this instance, you know, the PSVR 2. Mm-hmm. I think so you have like that cost of entry, you know, you already have to purchase a PC or a console and then purchase the device on top of it, right?
Ooh, yeah. That's a bit much.
That can hit, you know, 1,000+, you know, pretty quickly, you know, depending on. I mean, there's a plethora of devices out there. I'll say that, right? Like, you have a lot of really good VR devices. I just don't think, honestly, the technology is quite there yet. And just like you said, I don't think we're seeing enough developers support the platform and try to really put out something like, you know, there was one VR game that I really liked that I saw somebody stream was it was Half-Life Alyx that came out a couple of years ago.
That
was one of the best VR games I've seen put together. Like, the way it would, like, just the way it works, and, you know, the combat and everything was really interesting. But I think, as like I said, you know, you already started, you know, you look at what AAA game is going to, I think, do over the next couple of years. You're going to start to see a lot of safe ideas, a lot of safe games being made that they know are going to sell. And I think a lot of studios may be looking at VR as a unnecessary risk for them at this moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they literally, I think I read something that said that PlayStation's not, they slowed down production on the VR headsets because they're not selling fast enough. And I mean, I don't even know what games, like, come out for it, to be quite
Air
honest.
Force Ones?
Yeah. I mean, like, you think about marketing too, right? Like, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a commercial for a VR game that really kind of stuck with me or that I think looks super interesting. I mean, I think we're a number of years away from this being like realistic technology. I mean, Apple's trying it a little bit with their headset. You know, you can kind of, you don't have to attach it to anything to use it. You can just put it on your head and, you know.
I'm just eager for the future. I'm a weirdo, like, because I was so close to buying one of those. What was it, that just came out? The Apple Pro? What was it?
Yeah, the Apple Vision. Yeah, the Apple Vision Pro.
Apple Vision, and you never, my whole thing is with tech, you never want to be the first, right? You kind of want to let it cook a little bit.
There's definitely a risk. Yeah, to be an early adopter, 100%.
And I was like, I was so close to buying it. I used to be a real tech junkie. Like, I used to have all that stuff. I was the guy with like all the phones, and I used to use all the features.
You see, you were bleeding edge at one point in your life, man.
Yeah, I was, and then I was the one who was, what was it? What do you call it? Like just jailbreaking stuff and doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, I was
one of them, like way back in, I would say in the great years of 2000, right? That was me. Like, I had to have all the latest tech, but now it's just kind of like, whatever. But I do, man, I hope VR gets to that place one day, man, because it is something, like, what did I play that time in VR? And I had so much fun. It was something so simple. I think it was Minecraft. It was so weird. I was playing, like, Minecraft, but I was having so much fun. Like, it really felt good. Like it didn't feel, like, corny or weird. It really, the technology, I really felt I was immersed into the game, so
yeah,
you know, hopefully you get there one
and
day.
I mean, I would love to see like other industries adopt it too. I think that would help, because then you're starting to bring people from outside of games who have good ideas, other creatives, you know, who mm-hmm. have good ideas on things. And I think like eventually, like I said, once the actual technology itself catches up, I think
you probably need
to,
a room too.
Yeah,
you probably need a dedicated.
You don't
want to.
Yeah, you
VR
think
too.
About space as well. Like you have to have a certain amount of space, you know, around mm-hmm. you. Otherwise, I don't know if you guys have ever seen people playing VR and breaking their TVs and stuff, because it does happen. It's pretty funny, but
yeah, I've watched dudes. It's compilations on TikTok of people running into their TVs.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I think we're gonna start to see a lot of other innovations in the mobile and handheld, you know. I think we're gonna see a lot of that kind of innovation over the next couple of years. I honestly think that's a good place for companies to focus their efforts. Like I said, man, if this will force PlayStation to give us that Vita 2 or, you know, that companion device to go along with it, I mean, I like the idea of the portal. I just don't like that, like I said, you have to have it attached to something. It doesn't exist in its own ecosystem, and you know, you can just play, you can just, you know, turn it on and turn Game Pass on or something, you know. But we'll see, man. Yeah. I'm very excited for, just like DC said, I'm excited for the future of what could potentially be when it comes to a potential Xbox handheld. So maybe we'll get an announcement this year. You know, we already got rumors of an all digital console coming out. So Xbox is moving, man. They're moving and shaking. So we'll see. Maybe during the summertime we'll get something from old Phil. Hey man, if you ever want to come on too, Phil, you know, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, I shoot them DMs every once in a while. Hey, Sarah Bond, what's up?
We'd love to have you guys on. So,
even if it's for 5 minutes, y'all, you know, drop in, ask a few questions, then jump on that helicopter, fly back to the, you know, the big buildings in the sky.
The gigantic floating X in the sky.
That's right. Xbox headquarters, man. Come with your, you know, we'll take it.
That's so funny, man.
We will freaking take it.
Oh, man. Gearbox Software. Our good Borderlands friends have just been sold off again. Embracer Group. No. I don't know if you've been kind of seeing them in the
news.
They've
been getting tossed. They just been getting tossed around like a bag of chips.
Yeah, they've been selling a lot of companies ever since that deal, you know, that alleged deal fell through with that Saudi company they were supposed to be working with, like a $2 billion deal fell through from them. So they're just trying to recoup all the money that they spent during COVID buying up all these studios. And Gearbox Software, our friends who make the Borderlands series, are now being sold to 2K, who publishes Borderlands. So hopefully Gearbox is in better spirits and better places, man. You know, we got a little bit of an announcement that they're working on Borderlands 4. And you know, I used to get upset when I used to see stuff like this, like these kind of passing comments. Hey, we're working on the next iteration of this thing. I understand why they do that now, you know, because they're trying to let the investors know that, hey, our big series is coming out. We're going to have an announcement soon for that. But I, you know, we never got to talk about the movie trailer here. You know,
probably for the best.
Nah,
right?
Man, you know, I know you watched the trailer, and I think we're hitting two different spectrums when it comes to video game movies now. You got Mario and Sonic over here, and
the good ones,
you know, really sitting high. Excuse me. And Borderlands is just teetering for me, man. I just, are you excited for this movie, man? Are you gonna go see Borderlands, man? You're not
first
excited
all,
to see Kevin
first
Hart?
First of all, let me say this. First of all, see, now you're trying to piss me off. You're just trying to piss me off. But you know what? I'm going to fall for it. I'm going to bite. I'm going to be angry. First of all, let's just stop throwing Kevin Hart and everything, please. Second of all, if you know Roland's character. Now, let me say this, right? Maybe Kevin Hart is trying to show his versatile chops, right?
Oh, okay.
Maybe he in the movie and he is serious, but Borderlands kind of relies on that comic relief as well. Even though Roland is a serious character, right?
Yes.
Borderlands overall is silly. It has this humor, like it, that Borderlands humor. I feel like there's other people who could have probably played that role. Kevin, I don't know. That's a like I said, if he go in there and he plays the role, he plays his ass off, I'll give him his credit. But it's kind of hard for me to digest Kevin Hart being Roland, and then he's small.
Yeah, that's like, my thing, man. I wasn't gonna say the height.
No, we can talk about the height. I mean,
Kevin is a shorter guy, and at least, you know, from my perspective, I always thought Roland was like a average height or tall black dude. Yeah, you know what I mean. And I don't want to call this a cash grab, right? Because I really do love the Borderlands series. We played a lot of 3 around here. You know, we played quite a bit of Borderlands 3.
And
no,
a shit ton of 2.
Yeah, and I know that the comedy didn't necessarily land with us when it came to some of the jokes and some of the writing and whatnot. It was a couple years too late, in my opinion. But
3 was bad.
Yeah, with the twins. Yeah.
God. Yo, those twins were, hey, let's be real. I'm going to keep it real, man. Those twins were horrible.
I mean, it's really hard to stand up to what you had for a Borderlands 2 villain in Handsome Jack. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like a...
Yeah, you go from Handsome Jack to the twins. It was a major... And then they had all these, like... It was like really badly written, like...
It was like that early influencer era.
Yeah, like they were trying to play off the whole influencer thing, and it was just like, oh, record me, don't forget to hit the like button. I was like, what? Yeah. What is this?
And it was a shame because, I mean, personally, man, I really liked the combat of 3, and I know a lot of people kind of forget about Borderlands in the sense that, you know, it's the grandfather of looter shooters, in my opinion. You know, we had Destiny refine that genre, but, you know, I think Borderlands has really kind of fallen behind, man. And, you know, if we're talking about a Borderlands 4, I hope we get something. And I know a lot of people might get mad when I say this, but I don't care, because I know how the Borderlands community is. They're very set in their ways. I would love to see an expansion on social and community focused features, like, maybe have it to where, you know, you have that hub area where you have multiple vault hunters running through, you know, something a little bit closer to what kind of Destiny has in their open world stuff. I'd be happy to see that personally, but I know that's going to make a lot of people mad. I don't know about you.
I want to throw something on with that. I don't know where I sit on the hub and,
like, would you want any sort of live service features? Let's just call it what it is, essentially. Or do you feel like Borderlands is, how do you feel
Borderlands
like where it is in the series?
Would be a freaking, it's honestly one of the games that I would support live service for.
Yeah.
If done correctly, because remember, we invested so much time into part 2, it could have been live service. Like, if they have raids and stuff, I think Borderlands can really, really, if anyone can pull this off, I think they can pull it off. You may speak this into existence.
I mean,
because
think about it, right? Like, you already have people doing save quit farming for gear and weapons, you know, incorporated into the game where
I haven't thought,
you know,
about
you could
that.
Do
That's
like,
good.
You can do like Chromarex, where you pay a certain amount of currency to make that boss spawn, or, you know what I mean? Like, and you have your group of friends with you trying to raid this boss or trying to farm this boss for, you know, a particular gun or, you know, mod.
Because that's all we did in part 2, right?
Exactly.
We like, literally was doing live service stuff before it was a thing.
I would just really love them to see, I think they would be fine with a live service game with four, characters, like character classes, kind of like what they did with three. I think that's plenty. You kind of flesh out the skill trees a little bit. You give them more options. I still kind of follow the community, and there's a lot of people who've done some really good work with additional skill trees for characters in three, and they create whole new play styles for those characters. And I think that's the thing that, once again, people kind of sleep on with Borderlands. I don't play a lot of live service games much anymore, but I think Borderlands would be the one that would get me back into doing something like that, just because the gameplay's so unique, and I think that's where. Yeah,
I think a big thing also, what made two very interesting and what kept you coming back for more is they have to make the boss battles. You have to have those epic boss battles.
Oh yeah.
In this new one. I think part two had some of the best boss battles. I thoroughly enjoyed them. But part three kind of dropped off in that department. I wasn't too big of a fan of the boss battles in part three.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it was about Borderlands 3. I don't know if it was the tone that really kind of threw me off. And that's the thing that kind of kept me from jumping into Tiny Tina's Wonderland, was the end game, was just not there. And I think
it seemed like they just stopped caring about it.
Like I said, I think if Borderlands 3 would have came out earlier than it did, because when did it come out? Like 20...
Yeah, because then 17 or something like that. Yeah, it was supposed to Ben came.
Yeah, it got delayed a few years, and I think that game would have went over. It came out 2019. So
you think all the jokes and stuff would have landed? Yeah, I was going to say, do you think all the jokes and stuff would have landed better?
Yeah, I think the tone of the game would have done a hell of a lot better, man. But I'm a sucker for it, man. Like, I think the gameplay makes up for it. I hate to say that. I enjoy playing the character classes more than anything in the game itself, because you just have that ability to customize. And I think they have all the ingredients to make a live service game. Just do it.
Yeah, it really do. If you think about it, it's the perfect game. Because usually you don't really champion too many live service games because of the epic fails that we've had in the past.
Right.
But if any game was to get my vote, because usually when you hear live service, I know me, I'm like, oh, shit, here we go again. But if they said Borderlands 4 was going to be live service, I would kind of be there for it. I think 100%. If done correctly, it has all the ingredients. Like you said, you could literally flesh this out. And I wouldn't say, like, do nothing crazy. Like, oh, we want you to be playing this for 10 years. I wouldn't flesh it out that hard. I would say, hey, a couple of years. Hey,
you can even just give me a roadmap a year out, and I'll be fine. Give me, here's our 2027 plans for whenever Borderlands 4 comes out, because obviously we have no idea. But, here are our plans for the next.
With skins and everything, because remember on part two when you got, like, different colors of,
and they would release those character masks and stuff that you could wear that people would buy. They were very cheap. They were, like, $1 or something. I think that works really well. And shout out to Darkstar in chat. Yes, unfortunately, they did turn Suicide Squad into a live service game, and we could actually talk about that too, since we're kind of here now, right?
Hey, let the wheels turn.
I'm pretty concerned about Rocksteady at this point, because I don't know at what point does Warner Brothers look at Suicide Squad and tell them to stop supporting the game, or do the people who've played it, do you guys feel like there can be some sort of redemption? There can be a what's the space game? Oh my gosh. They just had an update for it again this week, a free update.
Starfield?
No Man's Sky. Sorry.
Oh, can they No Man's Sky?
Yeah, can they No Man's Sky Suicide Squad, man? Do you think it's too late for the game as a whole? Because it's kind of sinking, man. Nah, be honest, man.
I'm going to be the asshole and say it. That game is done. It ain't no Man's Sky. That game is going to be another flash in the pot.
Yeah.
It's going to be another Anthem. It's going to be another one bites the dust. Put the little tombstone in the cemetery of live service games. It's a wrap, bro.
I don't know what they can do at this point to
the game. This is me, my opinion only, and feel free to challenge it. Anyone hit me up on Twitter, whatever. It's just not an interesting game, from the missions to the way it looks, the characters. Even though I believe like they could have did something special with the characters, it's like everything is just dry, drab, and just boring. Like there, nothing interests me about this game at all. And trust me, I've watched a billion streams. I tried to get into it, and I just like, dog. I don't know what it is. Like, it's hard to explain. It's just a game that's really hard for me to catch my eye. It's just, I tried liking it. Then I even watched clips of, who did they just add? The Joker, right?
Yeah.
And he just got all these, like, really bad, cheesy one-liners. And I get that it's the Joker, but these lines are bad. The way that he traverse is just boring and just not Joker-ish. It wasn't a good idea, man. That game should have been like a single player.
It could have been co-op, right? Here's what I don't get.
Yeah, it could have been a co-op linear experience. You know, we had
a great era of superhero games that were like these beat 'em up arena style games. You know, you had Marvel Ultimate Alliance and you had X-Men Legends, right? Shout out to my boy Darkstar. That's why I brought it up, because he actually retweeted the X-Men Legends, and man, that really snapped me back to a time where I miss those types of games. You know, you look at, I don't understand, Warner Brothers looked at, you know, they had to have looked at Avengers, Marvel's Avengers. You know, that game came out, but it didn't fare so well. This is from somebody who played like 80 hours of it, by the way. I played a lot of Marvel's Avengers, and I don't regret not a single minute of it. But it didn't. The game just kind of fell on its ass, and you can never pick it back up. I mean, it had a good story, but the live service was just, it's not there. And I think there's certain games that kind of lend themselves, certain genres or certain IP would lend themselves better to live service. You know, like, they could have done this with Suicide Squad, but make it more in the Marvel Avengers or the Marvel X-Men Legends or Ultimate Alliance type beat,
right?
You know, don't give me the repet, don't give me the Destiny structure, because look at what's happening to Destiny right now in the dire straits that they find themselves in. Once again, this is a series that I loved. You know, we put hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours in it between Destiny 1 and 2. Like,
I think Destiny deserved that right for the fall off. And what I mean by that is, I mean, Destiny's been around for a while, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like the tapering off of it is justified, right? It's like you have these ideas and it just gets to a point where people move on. I feel like that's what's happening with Destiny. Like, I feel like people are just like, yo, I've been invested in this so long. Shout out to Amaze, who was also, you know, 10 toes down in Destiny, and then he just kind of moved on. You know, you kind of have people, when you have a series that runs that long, of course, I mean, they made some missteps that may have forced people to move on, but I feel like it's been around so long. Basically, what I'm saying is I give them a little bit of grace. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you look at the structure of the game. Like, the structure of live service games haven't really changed over the last decade. You know, you have
not at all.
You have your main story that you do. You know, those missions are unique. Then you move into the end game stuff, where that's usually repeating some of those story missions on a harder difficulty, or you're running through repeatable dungeons or missions, strikes as they call them in Destiny, all to do like that week's Nightmare, what were they called? Nightfalls, excuse me. Guys, it's been so long since I played Destiny. Nightfalls, or, you know, and it's like you're doing that after a while, that kind of repetitiveness. I mean, the way that people play live service games, that they'll get tired of it quickly. I mean, we've seen it. We've been there. We used to do the same thing when a new Destiny expansion came out. We were hands on deck, you know, in our Xbox Live party back in the day, just burning through the content so we could do the raid, or we could do you know, Night Falls or whatever. And I think that structure just really doesn't lend itself well to a lot of games. I mean, Suicide Squad, I think from jump, just like, you know, what you and Darkstar were saying, the traversal's boring. You know, the a lot of the heroes or, you know, Suicide
Squad. The city is just dry. City is just
they fight boring. They fight the same. You know, there's not a lot of unique enemies, you know, among.
Very repetitive. It's very repetitive.
It's unfortunate, man. And, you know, I know that scares a lot of people, you know, as to, you know, for all that to say this, like, I know that scares a lot of people, but I think Borderlands is a game that lends itself well to that type of formula. And it could work really well, especially with the way that they ended the story of 3. You know, spoiler alert, they were talking about more vaults on more planets. If you haven't played Borderlands 3 story at this point, come on.
They already talking about, for the movie, they already talking about making a multiverse out of it. Like,
yeah,
a Borderlands, like, so, you know, sort of like Marvel.
So just like, imagine
different planets.
Yeah, imagine you can jump in, play with your friends, jump to a different planet. You know, you have a totally different environment, different enemies to fight. Like, that shit would work. I don't know. I just get excited thinking about it, and I hope that they do it.
So check this out. This is the thing with live service. One thing that they have to figure out, and it'll be a key component to them. I think it'll be a key winning component for them if they figure this out, right?
Okay.
They have to figure out between content drops, right? So when it comes out in the beginning, everyone's having their fun playing it. But then when everybody gets finished with the content and we're waiting for the next drop, things like, for example, Destiny, where they have maybe dungeons or weeklies, nightlies, whatever, Nightfall. There has to be an interesting change in those events. And I was wondering maybe if these events could be changed, like, let's say AI generated or
like dynamic and procedural, something like that.
Yeah, where you changing these events. So you're not doing it, because, you know, in Destiny, when you do a Nightfall or something, it's the same map over and over, and it switch. Then, oh, it's a daily. Then you're essentially doing the same damn thing. Like, if you have something that generates a whole different experience, whether that be AI based or whatever, I think that would be a huge part in winning the battle of creating a substantial.
I mean, I like that idea a lot. Game. You look at what's the game we're playing? Helldivers. And how that the maps are procedural. You know, when you land, it's a different type of terrain that you're playing on, different locations of enemies and stuff. And I think I agree with you. I think there needs to be some sort of variety that really kind of breaks up that repetitive monotony. And it could have been something as simple in Destiny as, okay, instead of you going under the boss's base to get to the boss, you go through the top or you go through the front door. You know, you have these different options on how you want to tackle this particular mission. Hey, you can avoid this mini boss if you go this way, but you have to fight more mobs or something. You know, yeah, that type of stuff, I think, would work really well.
Give it a little more longevity, you know, so people won't get so bored or... And then also, I mean, we got to give it up, I mean, to the gamers as well. Like, some people, y'all just got to slow down. Like, a lot of people just blaze through content and then they be upset.
People who play live service games, they tend to just really, like, completely just consume the content. Excuse me. You know, like, days at a time. Stuff that would take the average person probably a few weeks, they get done in a few days. I mean, like I said, we were there, man. Like, I understand that drug of that high of playing live service games, getting that next drop, getting that level 1 point higher, or you know, it's just it was addictive, man.
Anybody who loves a grind is me.
Yeah.
So
hey, that grind, that playing games like with a grind, I think, as long as they have some sort of variety, I think, you know, and I think, like I said, I think Borderlands could do that just great, man. And, you know, the combat in Borderlands 3, I think, is the best, personally. I agree with you, Darkstar, on that. And shout out to everybody who's in chat, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you guys are just coming in and hanging out with us, we record this podcast live every Saturday, live. If you guys are listening on your favorite podcasting platform, you know, come hang out with us on twitch.tv/DareStarArtist. So, yeah, man, that's what I think about, like... You know, live service games and via, you know, maybe Borderlands 4 looked like that. Have no idea when it's going to come out. I hope it doesn't come out anytime soon, if I'm being completely honest. You know, let's let that breathe for a little bit, because they got to get far away from the movie.
Yeah, we know. Because the movie, seeing that to 2027, yeah, probably.
The movie's not going to do great, so they need to distance themselves from that to repair the brand. That's just my.
And just speaking of the movie, it's just, this is what I want to say about adaptations as well. Everything doesn't have to be live. I think Borderlands would have been more. It would have been better received if maybe it was some kind of animation. Like, because, you know, there's different types of animations.
Yeah.
I believe maybe it would have been a little more well received if we had an animated Borderlands movie. Like, everything don't, like, live service don't transfer well to everything, man.
I agree. 100%. I would have actually loved to see this in, you know what they could have done? Oh, gosh, man. Somebody hire me.
And there's so many cool, different, like, animation art styles, too.
They could have taken the original style that they were going to do. So a lot of people don't remember Borderlands was going to be like a realistic, hyper realistic game, right? You can animate that with like a cel-shaded art style over that. And that could have been the movie. That way you kind of have best of both worlds, but no, we want to give Kevin Hart a chance. So, hey man, if you guys go see the movie, let us know. I will not be going to watch that.
You know
that.
What? When these movies flop, like, these actors don't even be caring. Like,
no.
It was just revealed that, what was it, the Marvels? I mean, these young ladies pretty much said they were taking a paycheck.
Like, oh, you're talking about the Spider-Girl movie or the Spider-Woman?
Madam Web.
Madam Web, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, I said something
like,
about that.
Basically, in so many words, they were just like, look, it was a paycheck.
That's unfortunate, man. I really hope we get to the point where I don't know, man. I wanted that to be good, but the trailer just says otherwise for me. So if you guys watch Madam Web, let me know, man. I can talk.
Don't. I'll pass.
I have a lot to say that I can't while we're recording, so I'll just leave it at that.
Patreon.
man. Speaking of superheroes. Marvel announced a new 6v6 game, free-to-play shooter called Marvel Rivals, which looks something more closer to Overwatch.
Overwatch with skins? Marvel skins?
Yeah, so this... Okay, so I saw the teaser announcement for this. I figured it was going to be some sort of PvP-style game. I mean, Marvel's really just been kind of going crazy with what they've been... I mean, they've been given a lot of studios chances to make things. I mean, you got a Blade game coming out. Spider-Man's been doing good. You have this. I'm actually pretty curious to see what this game's all about, man. So like I said, it's free to play. There's no release date at all. But there's quite a roster of characters, you know, just to name a few. You got Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Magneto. I mean, you got, you know, quite a mix of characters, and the game actually looks pretty interesting. I don't know how I feel about the 6v6, but I'm definitely going to be checking this out, man. I don't know about you, DC. What about you, man? You gonna play this with your friends,
right?
I'm
exactly on the opposite end of this.
That's crazy.
I do not care. I don't care. I don't want to play it. You will not drag me into playing this game. I don't even care if it's for free. Honestly speaking, I have no interest in this game at all. If I want to go, like, I don't know. We'll see, but more than likely, from what I've seen, let's put it like this, from what I've seen so far, I wasn't really hyped up about it, and that's just me being honest.
I'd be honest with you, man. Like, from all jokes aside, like, I was never really big into the Overwatch style game. You know, I never
really like Overwatch, though?
Yeah.
Are people just saying that because...
No, the trailer, like,
the way it looks.
I think if you like the gameplay is what they're kind of getting at. Like, it's like a hero style shooter where each person has like, you know, particular abilities, and those characters may have a certain role on the team, like a tank or healer.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
I played Overwatch, and I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. Overwatch is a fun game when you play it. It's just, I don't know. Marvel, trying to see that translate into a hero shooter type game.
I like the idea. I don't know how I feel about the 6v6. I mean, that's a lot of people to match
to
make
balance.
And to balance, you know, I will say, like, I watched the trailer. It's about 2 minutes long. It's a pretty quick trailer. You know, the gameplay looks a little chaotic. You know, it looks like there's a lot going on at certain points, you know, and I think that's probably because there's so many people on the screen, but.
Yeah, because you have three roles in Overwatch. There's three roles. I wonder how many roles will you have in this? And like you said, games like this, the most complicated part about them comes down to the balancing of
right.
these characters. And usually it's not too bad in the beginning when you drop a game like this, but then it gets really weird when you start adding characters. And like, how far are we going to go into the Marvel universe? Are we going to do like a Rainbow Six to where like they got like 80 players now? You know,
I could see that. They, like I said, they have
free, right?
Yeah, this game. So they
say they definitely.
This game's completely free to play. It's gonna be monetized 100%. Let's just get that out of the way. There's gonna be some sort of battle pass, I bet. You know, I'll say this much, man. I hope this game kind of sticks more to, I don't want to say casual, but you know, if people try to make this like an esport or something out the gate, I think this game's gonna suffer a little bit, man. And I would love to see this kind of stick in the middle, because they're gonna need to. I mean, I want them to bring as many people in for this. I mean, rip Gundam. I was just about to say Gundam Evolution. A lot of people don't. Gundam Evolution had they didn't fix their problems quick enough, man. They came out, servers were a mess. The gameplay was so much fun, guys. Give me back Gundam Evolution. Y'all ruined it. You ruined it, gamers. But
don't you blame that on us.
Yeah, I would love to see a game like this do well. I think the right decision was making it free to play. I will say that off the bat. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be some sort of closed alpha coming up in the summer, so maybe this game will drop either end of the year or early next year. I'm going to play it. I'm going to check it out. I have zero expectations. I like Marvel. I want to play some of my favorite heroes and beat people up. Like I like the diversity of characters, because some of them are close quarters. You have some that, you know, excel probably at range. It looks like there's a good mix of play styles to kind of enjoy. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely gonna check this out, man.
Here's another game that, if done properly, can be a hit. Because now that I think about it, I still don't have too much interest in playing it, but
yeah.
Now that I think about it, if you have Marvel characters...
It could be a good time with friends, I think.
Yeah. It can definitely be a good time. Yeah.
And just like Ron said in chat, man, you know, I hope they don't just straight up copy... I hope that's not what they do. I don't think that's what they will do. I mean, I think there's probably enough money behind this thing where they at least want to try to do some unique stuff. I mean, there are like things like destructible environments I saw in the game, which probably changes up gameplay and stuff. So hopefully we'll see some interesting stuff from it, man. Like I said, this game for me, free to play, I'll check it out. If I don't like it, I'll never play it again. You know, it might just be something, you know, to play with the homies a few times and call it a day, you know, but
God, he's going to drag
me. Hey, man, I just want to play as Penny Parker, man. Come on, man.
Play as who? Peter Parker?
Penny Parker. No, her name's Penny Parker.
Who the hell is Penny?
See? Now you're curious. They got you. They got him.
No. I refuse.
We got him, guys. He's going to Google it later.
No, you know what? I already Googled it. Thanks. Just Googled it. We'll pass. I'm not talking from a hater standpoint. It's just, I don't know. My superhero brain is just burnt out at the moment.
Nah, I feel you.
I'm just burnt out on superhero anything right now. But I hope it's a success. I mean, it's Marvel.
I like we're getting more diverse superhero games. You know, we're kind of, you know, kind of how we did back in the day. You know, you got a minus Superman 64. We're never going to talk about that game. But, you know, the older Spider-Man games, you know, you had the Incredible Hulk games from back in the day. I want to see more, like, you know, that's why I want to support it, honestly. I want to see more
superheroes. Yeah, for sure. It could be a sleeper hit. Like, it come up and everybody's talking about it. Yeah. Like, you know, like a Helldivers or something. It just comes out of nowhere, knock it out the park, and we'll have another homie game, another homie shooter.
Homie shooter.
HS. Homie shooter.
Ron, you signed up. So Ron says in chat, guys, he signed up for the alpha. So if either of you guys get in, let us know, man. We would let. Well,
yeah, please.
Obviously, if they make you sign an NDA, don't tell us anything you're not supposed to tell us. But you know, anything you can tell us, that would be a pretty awesome
song. All you have to do is give us a thumbs up. Yeah. Or if you don't say nothing at all, I'm just going to take that as it's bad.
Yeah. And if the sign up is still open, guys, check them out. So we'll be talking.
Don't even
about
have
it.
The bad. Just throw up a thumbs. If not,
just leave it at that. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put our own conclusions together.
All right, man. Yeah, man. So that's Marvel Rivals is what it's called. I was about to say Marvel Avengers, like a fucking idiot. But yeah, man. Thank you guys for hanging out today, man. This is out of left field, but I'd be interested in the MTV's Teen Wolf game.
What?
That was Jamel in chat. Good friend Jamel. Shout out to Jamel, man.
You trying to get banned?
You would be interested in a maybe they could do like a single player horror style Teen Wolf game. That'd be interesting. We never get it though, and it would sell.
Hey,
buns.
You know what's crazy though? Like, all jokes aside, it would be a game like that will catch us off guard. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be something so crazy because I think right now what gamers are itching for is something to kind of break out of the monotony of things that we've been playing. Because if you think about it, we've been kind of playing the same thing. Like, if you're not shooting something, then you're kind of like sorting something, you know what I'm saying?
you're in a fantasy setting, or
sure. So you know, something come out of left field, like I feel like it's coming. I feel like you got a few indie devs out there that's probably gonna throw some stuff out in 2024 that's gonna catch us
I'm
off
telling
guard.
You man, you guys should play some card games, man. Card games are a good way to mix it up, get your mind sharp. Your boy's back on playing. I've been playing some Yu-Gi-Oh, man. It's been a great time.
I've been playing Gwent, actually.
Oh, Gwent?
Yeah, man. Gwent is my shit, man. Gwent's I'm bad game. At it, but I love it.
Nah, Gwent's a fire game, too, man. You guys should definitely check out some card games. But, yeah, man. Thank you guys for hanging out for another great episode of Super Weapon Podcast, man. Episode 184, man. We appreciate you guys for being here.
Ooh.
As always.
That's my ooh.
Ooh. You guys can find us everywhere. Super Weapon, everything, everywhere. YouTube, Twitter, not Instagram because we don't. But most social places, man. Find us out. And my boy DC is rocking the shirt. I'm gonna let him tell you about
the merch is coming.
When it's his time, I will let him tell you about that shirt. I cannot keep looking at him because I'm gonna lose it laughing. But thank you guys for hanging out, man. I appreciate everybody for being here today, man. If you guys are in chat, hang around. We're going to play some video games. You can find me everywhere, Darius the Artist. And on Twitter, where the E is a 3, man. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. DC, go ahead.
Well, as you see, man, we just testing out the merch here, you know. I got my Tough Crowd tee on, you know what I'm saying? It's just a whole t-shirt line with a couple of my quotables. I got another one that says, "Whoa, it really is me." That one's coming. Got a few more. I'm just testing out the quality, you know what I'm saying, before you can actually get this bad boy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
But
this is why you guys should tune in to the live version.
Yeah, man, you know, we got some things cooking, and I want to do a little small segment called Mr. Friendly Fire of the Week. And that goes to our good brother Darkstar in the chat. Helldivers, Friendly Fire of the Week. 14K.
Wow.
That boy was cooking our asses, okay? It's also in a Discord for anybody who wants to go in there.
Sounds like he was aiming at y'all on purpose. Sheesh.
It sounds like he need to put that damn Tesla tower down. I want to give a shout out to my brother as well, who just discovered Spider-Man, and he's having a time of his life.
Like the video game, or
yes, he bought the first Spider-Man, and he's like, "Dude, why haven't you?"
Oh man, shout out to Ray playing something other than Madden, man. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be one of those guys. But no, he's like really enjoying it.
Nah, that's awesome.
He's losing his mind. He's like, "Yo, swinging through the city is so fun." Blah blah blah, and fighting people, and I'm like. And for y'all who don't know, like, my brother's not like us. He's not really the biggest video game guy.
Nah, man.
So
yeah.
This is weird. This is weird to see. See, he got it in his blood. Deep in there, it's a gamer in that blood.
That's fire, man.
You know what I'm saying? And also, hey, know for look, grab your ticket. Look, make sure you play the lottery today. Somebody's going to win, right? And I have one more thing to say. I just can't remember what it was. It was kind of important. I guess I'll say it during stream because I can't remember. But, you know, it's Saturday. It's a beautiful day outside. And, yeah, let's are we hell diving?
Yeah, man, we're going to play some video games, man. Then I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out. Hope you guys have a good one, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
I really need a